Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Patient oncologists, neuro-oncologists, pathologists, and patient care coordinators work together to personalize care based on individual needs. Information is at VanderbiltBrainTumor.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. Americans are getting fatter, and nothing seems to stop it. Not jazzercise, not the shake weight, not simply having to look at each other as we drive our mobility scooters around the food court. But now, finally, a heavyweight is taking the field against the, well, the heavyweights. We'll ask what's finally going to turn the tide. Plus, White House chef Sam Kass joins us to tell what the first family eats first. And Carl Castle finally snaps.
Can I slap you?
We'll ask who really inspired such warm feelings. That's all in our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Reports of continued bloodshed in Syria. This sound is from an amateur video purporting to capture shelling in homes. There's word from opposition activists that government troops have killed dozens of people in renewed attacks on opposition strongholds in the central province of Homs. Spain's prime minister is hailing his country's bailout as a victory for the euro, but also acknowledges that Spain's 25% unemployment rate is likely to rise before it goes down. Lauren Freyer reports from Madrid on the Spanish leader's first comments since his government acknowledged it would become the fourth and largest Eurozone nation to seek financial help.
For weeks, Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy denied Spain would need a bailout. He was nowhere to be seen on the night the request was finally made. A day later, he held a news conference denying reports EU officials pressured Spain into a bailout deal before Greek elections next week.
A mí nadie me ha presionado.
No one pressured me into this. I pushed for it myself because I wanted a line of credit, Rajoy told reporters, refusing to call it a bailout. Rajoy then hopped a plane to Poland to watch Spain play Italy in Europe's soccer championships. It's a game some have dubbed the debt derby because of both countries' poor economies. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
There's word out of Cairo that former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has been slipping in and out of consciousness. More than 1 week ago, Mubarak was transferred to a hospital inside a Cairo prison to serve a life sentence. The case that rocked legendary Penn State coach Joe Paterno before his death goes to trial tomorrow. Former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky faces charges of child sex abuse. And PR's Jeff Brady tells us with the Pennsylvania judge's refusal to dismiss some of the charges, Sandusky will face all 52 counts filed against him.
Sandusky is accused of sexually abusing 10 boys over a decade and a half. Prosecutors say some of the incidents happened on Penn State's campus. Sandusky denies the charges. His attorneys asked the judge to dismiss all the counts or hold a hearing to determine if there are enough facts to support them. But Judge John Cleland denied that request Friday in an order that included no explanation. A jury of 12, along with four alternates, has been selected. Opening statements are scheduled to begin Monday morning in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
In Colorado and New Mexico, high winds are fanning wildfires, forcing scores of evacuations and destroying or damaging numerous structures. A blaze first reported yesterday morning northwest of Fort Collins covered about 8,000 acres by last night. In southern New Mexico's Lincoln National Forest, a wildfire has burned about 10,000 acres. This is NPR News. Tonight, Broadway celebrates the season past with the 66th annual Tony Awards. Jeff London reports from New York.
It was another record-breaking year on Broadway. Ticket receipts topped the $1 billion mark with attendance that approached 12.5 million. In the best musical category,
when your mind's made up.
Once, based on the Irish independent film, leads the race with 11 nominations. Its chief competition
this
is music.
Change coming once and for all.
Cats, the big Disney dance musical. Other serious contenders in their categories are the new plays Clyburn Park and Other Desert Cities, and revivals of Death of a Salesman, Porgy and Bess, and Follies. Neil Patrick Harris hosts the awards ceremony this evening. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
The Miami Heat are making a return trip to the NBA Finals. They won the Eastern Conference Series against Boston last night, setting up another shot at the NBA title. Miami guard Dwayne Wade says it's been a long 12 months since losing to the Dallas Mavericks in last year's NBA Finals.
You try to get back to this moment again, for you can, you know, in a sense, redeem yourself, or in a sense, put yourself in that position again and succeed. So, you know, we're blessed that we're able to be here again. In our second year together, to be able to go back to the finals.
Miami opens the title series against Oklahoma Tuesday night at the French Open. Rafael Nadal leading Novak Djokovic. This is NPR News. I'm Louise Schiavone.
Support for NPR comes from the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Music Center at Strathmore in North Bethesda, Maryland, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You know, thanks, everybody. We had a great show for you today. You hear a lot about Washington these days. Some say it's a horribly dysfunctional rat's nest of corruption and special interests. But there are others who insist that it's a vicious den of psychopaths determined to destroy America. And we came here and we found out, you know, they're both right. Who says you can't find common ground anymore? That being the case, we decided to stay well clear of the place. We're coming to you from a safe distance away in North Bethesda, Maryland. Any closer, we'd be at risk of exposure. We'll be talking about what the first family eats with White House chef Sam Kass, and of course, asking you to answer our questions. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andres Barraza from San Francisco.
Hey, Andres, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
I like the way you said your name.
Awesome.
I have a little crush on you now. It came from nowhere. I know this won't amount to anything, but look, we just met. So, you know my number. Call me maybe. Oh, you did. I guess we've moved beyond that technically because you already called. Andres, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column. Is Ms. Roxanne Roberts is here.
Hello. Would you say your name for me too?
Andres.
He's mine, Roxanne. Next, say hello to a real-life correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Andres, it's great to talk to you.
And next, a humorist and author of the new book, Don't Vote, It Just Encourages the Bastards, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke. Andres, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I hope, yeah.
I hope so, too. Here is your first quote.
Look, toddler, you want to eat those apple slices. Mickey says so.
That was a writer in the Christian Science Monitor writing about the Walt Disney Company joining the national fight on what?
Junk food.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Rather very bad. The war on junk food is on now. This week, the Walt Disney Company joined the battle. They announced they will no longer allow unhealthy food to be advertised to kids on their various programs and networks. Well, that's great. But seriously, what else is there to advertise to kids? It'll be a couple of Barbie ads, and then a guy will come on and say, look, kids, I can't tell you what Viagra is, but mention it to your dad, okay?
It's so hard to imagine, like, Goofy eating celery. I mean, these, like, some of these Disney characters, are they going to have to model healthy behavior now?
Well, it's weird when you have animate, I guess, essentially walking, talking animals of any kind advising you to eat healthier meats.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. But now, now Disney is a combatant in the junk food war. Mm. You know? I mean, I remember when it started, everybody thought it was going to be quick and glorious. But now people realize we meant their junk food. And people are like, first they came for the Little Debbie snack cakes. And I said nothing, because I prefer Hostess. So people will start protesting against this war, right? We'll get marches. That leaves us out of breath now. There'll be sit-ins, more sit-ins.
The war on junk food, that's bad.
That's bad. Look, you see this gut? I got this during the war on junk food. On cold days, it still jiggles sometimes.
Not to mention the purple heart disease.
And then, of course, Michael Bloomberg, as you know, he made it illegal to sell more than 16 ounces of soda at a time, right?
Because your average person can't figure out that they can have 10-ounce drinks, but they're not allowed.
Yeah,
20 ounce.
Exactly.
Mayor Bloomberg's just banning these things because they're taller than he is. Basically.
I love all this stuff. It's making us all healthier.
That's great. He's going to be standing out there in Times Square. It's like, you can't drink anything taller than this
Yes.
You must be shorter than the mayor.
All right. Very good, Andres. Here is your next quote.
Can I slap you?
That was a question asked by a woman who was meeting the losing candidate in a big recall election on Tuesday, and she said that right before she slapped him. What was the election?
The Wisconsin governor recall?
Exactly, the Wisconsin recall. Very good. That woman was one of the many Democrats who wanted to get rid of Republican Governor Scott Walker. And as it turned out, by slapping the losing candidate, Tom Barrett, she became the only Democrat in the state of Wisconsin who actually made an impact.
Wait, she slapped him because she was upset?
She slapped him because she was upset that he had conceded.
Oh, okay.
The Wisconsin Democrats got a rare chance to redo the election from 2 years ago, and what do? They ran the same guy against Walker who lost the first time. It's like, sure, you didn't like him before, but now look, he's 2 years older. It was like a more expensive sequel to a movie nobody liked the first time. This was the Waterworld 2 of elections.
Yeah.
Governor Walker, to his credit, immediately after his re-victory, I guess, reached out to his opponents, many of whom were union leaders he spent the last 2 years trying to destroy. He invited them over for bratwurst and beer. You know, we'll all get together, we'll have something to eat. He was seen holding a book under his arm. It was called To Serve Wisconsin. Oh, no, it's a cookbook!
Oh, wait, oh, my gosh, what is he going to cook? Oh, the joke was that he was going to cook people. Is that it?
Yeah.
Or no, it's not. Oh, okay.
This is great. Our show comes with annotations. Thank you. All right, very good. Here, Andres, is your last quote.
Okay, the guy who ended the war in Iraq, that guy, he's coming to my house for dinner.
That was actress Sarah Jessica Parker being very excited as she announced her dinner date with whom?
The president?
Yes, President Obama, yes. Indeed, the Obama campaign's first national TV ad featured Ms. Parker auctioning off a chance to have dinner with her, Mr. and Mrs. Obama, and Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue. This is the second big celebrity dinner they're raffling off, and it looks like the president is getting a little desperate. Are we really going to pick our next leader based on who offers us the best raffle prizes? I mean, I was like, wow, gosh, Obama has dinner with Sarah Jessica Parker. Romney's offering an RV. Ron Paul has a dinette set. Maybe we should reconsider him.
So I don't understand. So what's
the idea is that if you, the individual out here watching the ad, were to donate to the Obama campaign, you would be entered in a raffle to win a chance to go have dinner with...
Oh, be with the two of them.
And, oh, yeah, okay, the whole
except,
crowd.
Except,
the whole A-list crowd.
If you're like Bill Maher and you pay $1 million, can you get out of it?
Plus, you said Anna Wintour of Vogue and Sarah Jessica Parker, so there's not going to be any food, you know?
That's true.
Like celery sticks.
These people are in league with Disney.
In addition to the star of Sex and the City,
which went off the air 8 years ago. The president also this week flew Jon Bon Jovi and Air Force One to a fundraiser and was endorsed in a video by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He'll have this thing locked up if he was running for president of the 90s. Carl, how did Andres do in our quiz?
Andres, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done.
Well done, Andres.
Thanks a lot, Andres.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. We want to remind everybody that they can join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, of course, it is time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Roxanne, to allay concerns from an increasingly nervous public, the Centers for Disease Control issued a statement this week saying that there is, in fact, no real danger of what?
I missed this somehow. So this is some potential threat.
Potential threat. People were worried about this week because of some incidents in the news, some distressing incidents in the news. So the CDC felt it important to let everybody know, no, as far as I know, there's nothing to worry about.
Cannibal? No.
No. Actually, you're close.
Oh, you're close.
Because of all those incidents, people were worried about what?
Flesh-eating something?
Flesh-eating what?
Bacteria?
No.
Flesh-eating zombies?
Yes!
No!
The CDC has let us all know.
That's like a joke.
No. They said it. This is what happened.
Your tax dollars at work.
Absolutely. After a number of distressing incidents of people eating other people.
Oh, my gosh.
Including the great naked face-eating picnic of 2012.
In Miami, right?
Yes,
which is
indeed.
Really taking the South Beach diet a step too far.
It is.
I mean, it's protein.
Sure.
And no carbs.
Anyway, because of all these things, the CDC actually sent an email to the Huffington Post saying, quote, CDC does not know of a virus or condition that would reanimate the dead or one that would present zombie-like symptoms, unquote. Yeah, but yeah, right. Haven't you ever seen a zombie movie? Because the first scene is always some guy at the CDC saying there's nothing wrong. Don't panic. It'll be great, though, if there was a zombie virus. If you think about it, you know, we being Americans would treat it like we treat every other serious disease. We'd make it a cause. There'd be a zombie shamble for the cure. And one day a year, to show their support of the cause, baseball players would put down their regular bats and use a human leg instead.
And the annual zombie walk through Central Park.
Exactly.
Everyone's got their arms outstretched.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, who would be the celebrity of choice for the zombie?
For the zombies?
Nick Nolte.
Yeah. Oh, Claire, really? He'd be the spokes zombie.
Yeah.
You didn't even think for 2 seconds, did you?
Well, because he's a zombie.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences at angieslist.com. Pimsleur Language Programs, providing tools to learn a listener limerick challenge in 45 languages, online at pimsleur.com. And Esurance, an Allstate company, offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at esurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This is Neil Conan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, Europe strains to save Spain from default, and with it, the euro. Political junkie Ken Rudin with a new trivia question on Wednesday. And Thursday, Old Jews Telling Jokes, a new off-Broadway comedy review. Join us for that and much more in the coming week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3. Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from the Ryman hosting the Springer Mountain Farms Bluegrass Nights opening with Vince Gill, June 21st. And continuing every Thursday through July 26th, the series includes the Boxcars, Steep Canyon Rangers, and Rhonda Vincent. Schedules at Ryman.com. And by the Clean Air Partnership of Middle Tennessee, offering a reminder that combining errands into one trip saves time and gas and reduces air pollution. Details are at itscleartome.org. Time is 11:19.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, PJ O'Rourke, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Music Center at Strathmore in North Bethesda, Maryland, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Kitty Ray from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, it's not far from here.
I'm delighted to be on.
You should have come by. We miss you. Where are you?
I tried, believe me.
You, drive over. We'll wait.
Okay.
Can I just say for a moment, as a Marylander, which I am, I was always jealous of Virginians because Maryland is for crabs, but Virginia is for lovers. And I know, and by the way, I know that the two are related.
Yes,
you go
about
from
to say,
Virginia to Maryland.
Eventually. Kitty, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction.
Okay.
Carl, what is Kitty's topic?
Will you accept this rose, Peter?
Reality shows get a bad rap for being a cesspool of American culture full of sleazy meatheads looking out for number one. Well, they are. But think of the good they do. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of reality shows actually doing something positive for the world. Guess that real story. You will win our prize, Carl's voice, on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here is from Roxanne Roberts.
Alarmed by the dropping birth rate in South Korea, government officials launched a new fertility program last year based on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. The ABC reality show is wildly popular in the country, so singles ages 20 to 35 are encouraged to attend free government-sponsored workshops to teach them how to woo, win, and marry in mere weeks. Men and women reenact the contestants' dress, body language, small talk, and flirting techniques, including kimchi jacuzzi dates, group pajama parties, and rose ceremonies. Quote, at first they giggle a lot, but then they get into the bachelor mindset. Health Minister Song Gi-ho told Reuters, unlike the real show, the workshops have produced 35 marriages, plus plenty of hookups, and 19 children so far. Quote, fake romance makes real babies, said Ho with a smile.
Dating shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette used to inspire real romance in South Korea. Your next story, the benefits of reality TV, comes from Mo Rocca.
It's called a drone for a reason. The unmanned spy plane, also known as the Predator, captures footage that's 99.9% incredibly boring to watch. Pity the poor human drones who have to sift through thousands of hours waiting for something to happen. The risk that they could miss a moment that actually does matter is great. Which is why the Air Force is summoning America's most eagle-eyed, battle-tested patriots. Our reality show producers. With more than 10,000 hours of footage accumulating each month, veteran producers of Rock of Love, Charm School, and Courtney and Chloe Take Miami, plus one producer decorated after several tours of duty with VH1's For the Love of Ray J, are being consulted on how best to spot the quiet before the storm and techniques for watching hours of raw footage without burning out. Quote, you can't have someone staring at the empty Jersey Shore living room for 24 hours a day, Micah Zenko, a fellow at the Council of Foreign Relations, says. But when something crazy happens at 3 a.m., you want to be sure to spot it. Of course, as the report's authors acknowledge, there are plenty of differences between monitoring the killing of Osama bin Laden in the Situation Room and the Situation's Room. But it's equally important to remember what General Sherman once said. War is hell, but it's never quite as grisly as an episode of The Real Housewives.
Reality show producers used to looking at hours and hours of boring tape being enlisted to look at tape from Predator drones. And your last story of the positive side to reality programming comes from PJ O'Rourke.
Now, the Catholic Church has given its blessing to reality TV. In fact, the church hierarchy and Catholic theologians are encouraging screenings of reality TV programs at seminaries and convents and at religious retreats for Catholic young people who are exploring the possibility of a vocation as priest, nun, or monk. Monsignor Francis Kearney, a Jesuit priest who heads the church's Commission for Propagation of the Faith, has particular praise for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, MTV's Real World, The Apprentice, the Real Housewives franchise, and Teen Moms. These programs, says Father Kearney, are very valuable for showing the true nature of materialism and sensuality. Men and women who have or will take vows of poverty and chastity get to see exactly how little they're missing. The result, says Father Kearney, has been a 15% increase in seminary students and convent novitiates, and a 12% decrease in people leaving the priesthood and religious orders.
All right, then. Here are your choices. Was it from Roxanne Roberts, South Korea using dating shows like The Bachelor and Bachelorette to increase romance among real-life young people? From Mo Rocca, reality TV producers being enlisted to look at boring hours of footage from spy drones? Or from Pidgey O'Rourke, reality shows used to help convince novitiate monks, priests, and nuns to give it all up and just spend the rest of their lives in celibacy?
Well, this is a hard choice. I think I'm going to have to go with Roxanne Roberts.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I think I'm right.
So your choice then is Roxanne's story.
Absolutely.
About South Korea.
Yep.
All right, well, we spoke to somebody who's familiar with the real story.
The military or the Air Force are trying to capture all the good drama and weed out the boring stuff.
That was Mary McClellan. She's a writer and reality TV expert for Momtastic's Reality Tea, talking about reality TV producers. I warn people, I warn them again, do not trust Roxanne. Roxanne wants to fool you. Roxanne wants to go for the win. I'm sorry, as you now know, it was in fact Mo who had the real story. Roxanne, although her idea is lovely. But I just want to confirm something, which might be of some comfort to you. Roxanne, do you feel even a little bit terrible?
I do. I do feel a little terrible right
yes.
now.
Me too.
So there you are. Well, thank you so much for playing, Kitty.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
And now the game where people who do important things take a break from that and do something unimportant. So Sam Cass was working as a private chef in Chicago when one of his clients got a new job. So he moved with that client to Washington, D.C., where he now cooks in a large building with an oval office, a rose garden, and a tiny little kitchen. He is the first family's personal chef at the White House and an important part of the First Lady's Healthy Food Initiative. Sam Cass, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Let me get the story right. You had been working in restaurants in Chicago. You started your own private chef business, mm-hmm. and you were working for the Obamas when he was still a state senator. Is that right, or not quite back that far?
No, I was helping out the first lady, during the campaign a little bit, and was lucky enough to get the invitation to come here.
And so, describe your duties at the White House then.
I have a couple roles at the White House. So I've been helping the first lady on her Let's Move initiative, trying to ensure that our kids grow up healthy.
Yep.
Really important work for the future of our country, and that started with a garden on the South Lawn, and so I've been also good. And so I've had the honor of helping her with that, and then in the evenings I go to cook dinner.
Does it ever get a little bit boring cooking healthy food? I mean, if they are, I mean.
Not if you get to cook out of that garden.
Yeah.
It's always.
Oh yeah, because you actually, how much of the produce from the garden do you use?
Everything gets used. So every night I get to go down there. We grow year round, so I'm going down there nearly every day.
I never thought the day would come, especially in the early 21st century, when the President of the United States' family dinner would depend on that day's harvest.
Yeah, you know, we're coming full circle.
Well, kind of a survivalist moment, isn't it?
I just imagine the First Lady going to the kids, I'm sorry, there were locusts reading, tonight you go hungry.
No. Are there ever deer on the South Lawn? That would be kind of cool.
That's why we have Secret Service down there.
Yeah, I understand.
They take good care.
They got those guys
in
unconvincingly clean overalls talking into their sleeves going, we got a squirrel, we have a squirrel.
Yeah, it works out pretty well for us.
But a lot of those agents are distracted sometimes.
That only happens.
happened once.
In the garden, only by the ladybugs.
So, I imagine that whole issue of healthy food in the White House could be an issue. I mean, because obviously Mrs. Obama is very, very big advocate for healthy eating, but she's got two young daughters. I have young daughters. Do they ever, like, knock on your door in the middle of the night going, Sam, give me a Pop-Tart. I won't tell her if you won't.
That's one of the many reasons I don't live in the White House.
I understand.
I don't mean to be rude, but do you ever sometimes wish that you could cook for Governor Chris Christie? I mean, that was like... you could do anything you wanted to. Like, it's zebra. Yeah.
An entire one.
A rhino kebab.
I'm not sure I have the skill set for...
Really? No, probably not. I want you to confirm something I read once, which is that, despite what you may think, the president gets free boarding, we know that, but he has to pay, or his family has to pay for his own food. If it's not like a state occasion or an official occasion, like, he pays for his kids' Rice Krispies. That's like his job.
That's absolutely correct.
And does that ever affect your choices? It's like the president says, look, book royalties were down this year. we need you to make a mock apple pie out of Ritz crackers. That's all
we haven't quite gotten to that.
It hasn't gotten that point yet.
Okay, here's another question.
Yes.
You know how sometimes you're just in the mood for Chinese? Do they ever do takeout?
We don't do too much takeout.
He does pick up, though,
because
the president,
burgers.
We all know the president will stop at some great place, like burger joints or the chili dog place, right? It's always cheeseburgers, chili. That is both a wonderful publicity stunt, a great way to meet the people, and a cry for help.
Hey, look, the way we look at this is if, you know, you eat balanced diets, what, you know, the first lady teaches the kids, and then you go out and have a burger, it's great.
Well, so let's
just turns out that, you know, most of the time when they're going out, then they're going to get burgers.
You're from Chicago, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I partly grew up in Chicago. I just wanted to confirm this. The hot Italian beef sandwich is a vegetable, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
The Al's, just checking.
The Al's beef?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
So is the Harold's chicken. And
yeah.
It's all,
yeah.
There's ribs and bibs.
Yeah, ribs and bibs.
We wanted to talk a little bit, of course, about the Healthy Foods Initiative that you've been working on with the First Lady. It's a tough challenge trying to get Americans to eat better.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of forces convincing them not to.
Well, you know, we're facing as a country some really serious challenges. First Lady's worked very hard to unite the country around the health and well-being of kids and of families. And it's going to take all of us, parents and teachers, business leaders, doctors, thinking, stepping back, what can I do, what in my role, to help improve the health and well-being of our kids?
Right.
They should make chubby kids mow the White House lawn.
as punishment?
No, I mean... It's tough love, but to get in shape.
Right.
That's not cruel.
Well,
chores are normal.
I want to be clear. We are not endorsing that policy.
All right.
Not at all.
Well, Sam Cass, we're delighted that you came to join us here today. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You'll Put an Eye Out.
So you're all professionally about doing things that are good for you. We are not. We're going to ask you three questions about things that are really quite bad for you. Answer two questions correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, Carl, who is Sam Cass playing for?
Sam Cass is playing for Solomon Rakebach of Potomac, Maryland.
All right, here.
All right. Let's go, Solomon.
All right. Here's your first question. Early in the 20th century, a doctor named John Brinkley became nationally famous and quite rich because of his revolutionary medical treatment. What was it? A, solving people's fear of death by locking them in a coffin for 2 days. B, solving their impotence or lack of virility by transplanting goat gonads into them. Or C, solving obesity by sewing his patients' mouths shut.
God, I hope none of those are true.
One of them is.
I mean, if it's B, did you hear what he said, what B was?
They're all nodding excitedly.
All right, I guess I'm going to go with the crowd.
Some people out there are buying. So you're going to go with B, transplanting goat gonads?
God, I hope that's not true.
Well, are you going to pick it or not?
Yeah, I'm going to pick it.
It's true. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Dr. Brinkley, was known as the gland doctor. He charged upwards of $700 for his go-to-gonad treatment, which he did thousands of times before the authorities finally stopped him.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
It's a pretty bad thing, but he did it for a long time.
Okay. But didn't the next person talk to the person before and say, how'd that work? I mean, wouldn't you ask?
So you'd think.
Yeah.
Who knows?
People were like, I won't check it out. It sounds good.
What were they supposed to do?
It was supposed to increase.
Oh, come now.
Increase.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. All right.
And let's leave it at that, shall we? Thank you, PJ. All right. No, two more questions. Two more questions. All right. Next question. One thing people always say is bad for you is cracking your knuckles. Well, one California scientist wanted to see if that was true. So how do you do it? A, he had his male test subjects crack their knuckles every day, and he measured how long it would be before their wives left them. B, he cracked knuckles on one of his hands, but not the other one, every day for 60 years.
Oh.
And then he evaluated if there was any difference in his hands. Or C, he painstakingly taught a dozen rhesus monkeys in his lab to crack their knuckles so he could test them.
I'm going with B.
You go with B? He cracked his own knuckles on one hand for 60 years?
Yeah.
That's right. That's what he did. Remarkable feat of scientific focus. And it turns out there's no difference in his hands, so... crack away, people.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Let's see if you can go perfect. As we all know, diets can be bad for you. Which of these was a real diet that people once tried to follow? A, the Sleeping Beauty diet, where you're heavily sedated and you sleep off the pounds for several days. B, the K diet, where you're only allowed to eat foods beginning with the letter K. Or C, the Illusion diet. For $200 a week, 5 obese actors follow you everywhere and make you look thinner by comparison.
Let's go with A.
You're going to go with A, the Sleeping Beauty diet? You're right. That's what people would do. If you're asleep, you don't eat. Why not sedate yourself into a coma for a couple days? Apparently, that's one of the ways that Fat Elvis tried to become Skinny Elvis again.
Wow. Apparently.
Carl, how did Sam Cass do in our quiz?
Sam had 3 correct answers, so he wins for Sullivan Rakeback.
Well done, Sam. Another success. Sam Cass is the assistant White House chef and the senior policy advisor for Healthy Food Initiative. Sam Cass, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
Sam Cass, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, I'm here to say to you that I love my bread and my meat. Take a look at me and you can plainly see that I'm a man who loves to eat. What love makes you give up steak and tomatoes?
In just a minute, it's the sweet smell of Carl. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Focus Features, presenting Moonrise Kingdom, directed by Wes Anderson and starring Bruce Willis, Ed Norton, and Bill Murray in select theaters now. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Hello again, I'm Warren Alney. Next time on To the Point, since the Great Depression, Democrats have counted on organized labor, but the fight over benefits to public sector unions is pulling old friends apart. What are the possible consequences at the state level and in the race for the White House? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock. Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on WPLN comes from Sylvan Learning Center, delivering academic programs from ACT and IC test prep to personalized K-12 programs in reading, writing, and math. Located in Green Hills, Goodlettsville, and Franklin, 1-800-EDUCATE. And you can stay connected to Nashville Public Radio through our weekly email newsletters and on Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at WPLN.org. Time is 11:39. It's 71 degrees in Nashville.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, PJ O'Rourke, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the Music Center at Strathmore in North Bethesda, Maryland, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. In just a minute, Carl is appointed as the first ever Secretary of Rhyme. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. PJ, California Democrat Brad Sherman is facing a tough primary fight against Representative Howard Berman. They got redistricted together. Mr. Sherman isn't taking any chances. He recently sent out two versions of a family photo to voters, in one designed to appeal to Jewish voters. Sherman allegedly digitally altered it to include what?
Well, like a yarmulke.
No.
Well, it wouldn't be a big ham salad, would it?
No, it wouldn't be that. I'll give you a hint. She's the one in the picture telling him to put on a sweater because she's cold.
His mom.
Yes! Both Mr. Sherman and his opponent are both Jewish, and so are a lot of the voters in his district, which might explain why the district at large got a flyer with a picture of Sherman with his wife and kids, but the Jewish voters got a picture with his wife, kids, and the smiling, gray-haired booby in the background.
Where is this again?
This is in Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah, I think of the San Francisco.
And they rhyme.
Berman and Sherman.
Yeah,
this is under the Berman-Sherman race. Yeah. So this is a problem. So great. Mr. Sherman, who's also Jewish, had to come back with his own strategy. He sent out two versions of his own mailer, one with a foreskin and one without. This is true. This is funny. What happened was, they said, what are you doing? You're photoshopping in your mother for the Jewish voters. They say, no, what happened was, is they took the picture, and the picture originally had his mother in it. And then they sent it out to the Jewish voters, and they're like, oh, for the next mailing, we should probably remove the mother because people will wonder, who is this woman in the picture? So they photoshopped the mother out.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? They made her disappear. And they got all these calls from Jewish men all over the district going, how did you do that? Mo, earlier this week, Britain's Queen Elizabeth celebrated her Diamond Jubilee, mm-hmm. 60 years on the throne. And amid all the breathless coverage, we learned a really amusing and surprising detail about the Queen. What?
I mean, with all the coverage, we learned a lot about the Queen. I mean, we learned...
Well, run through your list, Mo.
Well, I actually know this because I read the biography of the Queen by Sarah Bradford many years ago. And this is true, that the Queen and all the Windsors, they learned from an early age to all poop at the exact same time in the morning. It's all about having possession over your body. And so they all poop at 8 a.m., Greenwich Mean Time. There's a lot. She's an interesting lady.
She's a very interesting lady.
I like her.
But we're looking for a particular detail that was revealed that, and she'll be glad to know when she hears this.
She has a gold hula hoop. I don't know.
No, she's, I'll give you a hint. She's sort of a royal rich little, if you will.
She does impressions.
She does. We found that out this week, that she apparently is very good at doing impressions.
That's cool.
A former assistant to Her Majesty revealed that the Queen has, quote, a wicked sense of humor and is a great mimic. And, you know, you think about it, and when you realize how little she has to do in terms of her job, it's easy to imagine her walking around Windsor Palace saying, "You talking to me? You talking to me?" Of course, because she's the Queen, it would be like, "You talking to us? Because we're the only person here. You talking to us?"
I bet she has a mean Freddie Mercury.
or maybe she's really bad at it, and because she's the Queen, no one tells her. So it's like, guess who I am? Get these mother bleeping snakes off my mother bleeping plane. Woohoo!
Well, what if she just does really loud, you know, impressions you don't want to hear? Who am I being now? Princess Margaret. That sounds just like your Princess Anne.
Oh, now I will do Helen Mirren in The Queen. Well, Roxanne, you're familiar with Chinese knockoffs of handbags and sunglasses. Well, they're doing something more audacious this time. They've made an exact replica of what?
Is this a fashion item?
It is not. Mm. It's bigger than that.
Is this a building?
It's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. A city?
Yes. It is an entire Austrian town that they have created a knockoff of. Hallstatt is a quaint, scenic, alpine town of 900 people in Austria, but now there are two of them. Chinese developers spent a year secretly photographing the Austrian town. Now they have built their own replica in southern China. It's an exact copy, down to the statues and flowers.
Oh, my gosh.
If you woke up there, you'd think, I'm in Austria. And then you'd think, why is everybody in Austria Chinese?
I thought it would.
Why? There's you. It's hanging
there. Well,
for a
tourist thing, it's sort of this beautiful, picturesque alpine village.
Oh, I thought it would have like a terracotta goat herd,
something like that. It's hard to capture everything of the original Austrian Alps spirit. For example, their version of The Sound of Music is hard. You can't really have a family singing group when everybody only is allowed to have one kid.
Jeez, a problem.
And what are they doing for anti-Semitism?
That would also be a problem.
Yeah, where do they escape to at the end?
I know.
How did they...
Tibet!
They go to Tibet, yeah.
The songs would change. It would be like... Do, a name, a Chinese name. Fa, another Chinese name. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Cleveland on June 28th. You can also check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast from the producers of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This week, Mike and Ian tell you about the perfect snack food to start your campfire.
Better be healthy.
Oh, it's very good for you. Trust me. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Jay Leibowitz from Avon, Connecticut.
Hi, Jay. Avon, Connecticut. What do you do there?
I'm a sales rep for a large telecom full-time, and I also referee amateur hockey games part-time.
Really?
Yep.
We've been hearing, well, what with the Stanley Cup finals and all, we've been hearing a lot about, like, violence in hockey. Is there a lot of that in amateur hockey?
Oh, tons of it, but mostly in the stands from the parents and the relatives watching the kids play.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Well, welcome to the show, Jay. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner.
Okay.
Here is your first limerick.
My olfactory sense works real well. When there's old folks around, I can tell. It is not like wet feet. No, it's pleasant and sweet. Yes, old people have a nice...
smell?
Yes!
Yes.
Researchers in Philadelphia asked people aged 25 through 95 to wear the same T-shirts for 5 nights straight, equipped with these sewn-in armpit pads. They asked volunteers to smell the pads and then rank the scent from not offensive to, oh my God, what did I do in my life that I am reduced to doing this? The pads from those over 75 were deemed the least offensive. So also this week, researchers proved that old people are totally fine with you being on their lawn, that they thought Matlock was boring as well, and that in fact they will turn left eventually. So a big week for science and old people.
This evening I'm wearing Ode to Brimley.
All right, very good. Here is your next limit.
Check-in Friday, still married, of course, but your freedom is what we endorse. So just chill at our spa while we deal with the law. Our hotel staff will file your...
divorce?
Yes. It's like a honeymoon for your divorce. The Netherlands is now home to 6 new divorce hotels. There's plans to open them in the U.S. as well. Lucky us, for a fee of $3,500 to up to $10,000, you'll get your divorce taken care of in a weekend, all from the comfort of your separate hotel rooms. And for an additional fee, the hotel staff will ensure your kids get adequately neglected. All right, here is your last limit.
This is more than a vest that fits snug. It'll give my frayed heartstrings a tug. When a real human touch seems a trifle too much, my inflatable vest gives a...
hug?
Yes, a hug. Very good. With our busy lifestyles, no one has time to sit around hugging anymore, which is why British innovators have come up with a perfect way to grab your hugs on the go, the hug vest. It's a little like a real hug, except it's a shirt you can wear. You'll be getting hugs whenever you want, on the subway, in your meetings, at line, and Starbucks, and in bed every night, alone, after everyone shuns you because of your tendency to inflate and sigh.
This is only a shirt so far, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you can see where this thing is going.
Yes, exactly. Never leaving the house is where it would be going. Carl, how did Jay do in our quiz?
Jay, you had 3 correct answers, so congratulations. You win our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne Roberts has the lead, Peter. She has 4 points. Mo Rocca and P.J. O'Rourke are tied for second. They both have 2.
I see. We have flipped a coin. P.J. is elected to go first. Here we go. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. The number of people applying for blank benefits dropped this week for the first time.
Job.
In 5 weeks, yes, unemployment benefits. After he was sentenced to life in prison, ousted Egyptian leader blank suffered a health crisis.
Hussein Mubarak.
Yeah, it's Hosni Mubarak. We're close enough.
Whatever.
Saying it, quote, deliberately ignored the risk of head injuries. 2,000 former players joined this week in a lawsuit against the blank.
National Football
League. Yes. Best known for books like Fahrenheit 451, Dandelion Wine, and
Ray
others.
Ray Bradbury.
Blank. Yes, Ray Bradbury died this week at age 91. A man accused of brandishing a knife and mugging a couple at a Connecticut casino says he was just blanking.
Yeah, you're just blanking, you know.
It happens.
That was the best excuse you could come up with.
He was sleepwalking.
I see.
Security experts say that approximately 7.5 million users of LinkedIn and the dating site eHarmony had their blanks stolen this week.
Yeah. I shouldn't doubt identities.
Close enough. Yes. Yeah. Passwords. Yes. Milwaukee Brewers catcher Jonathan Lucroy was put on the disabled list after he broke his hand while blanking.
And let's just leave it that way, because this is family radio, okay?
All right. He broke his hand while looking for a missing sock. LaCroix was reaching under his bed during the sock search when his wife shifted a suitcase that landed smack on his hand.
That's what she says.
Yeah. I don't think you're using that joke right, PJ. Carl, how did PJ do in our quiz?
PJ had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and PJ has taken the lead.
Well done. All right. Mo, you are up next. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
On the blank. Hospitalized on Monday, Prince Philip was forced to miss the Queen's blank.
Her diamond jubilee?
Yes, in the wake of increased violence in Syria, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton called for blank's ouster.
Assad.
Yes, a Massachusetts teenager was sentenced to a year in jail for a deadly car crash that happened because he was blanking.
Texting.
Yes. Best known as the host of the game show Family Feud, blank died this week at age 79.
Richard Dawson.
Yes. A Swedish man arrested with several sticks of dynamite claimed he thought blank.
He thought that the sticks of dynamite were sausage or Lincoln.
That's exactly right.
He thought they were sausages.
It's amazing how you did that. 75 years after her doomed flight, scientists say a jar of freckle cream may answer the mystery of what happened to blank.
Amelia Earhart.
Yes, accused of stealing confidential documents from the Pope's desk, Pope Benedict's blank faces up to 8 years in prison.
Butler.
His butler, yes. After New York Times columnist Paul Krugman cast doubt on his country's economic recovery, the president of Estonia responded by blanking.
Did he punk him? Did he? You don't do fatwas in Estonia. What do they do in Estonia? He stoned him.
No. He responded to Paul Krugman's criticism by going on a Twitter rampage. Sample presidential tweets include, quote, chill, just because my country's policy runs against the received wisdom and I object doesn't mean y'all gotta follow me. President of Estonia. Apparently, Estonia's economy is based on the production of folksy overreactions. So, Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. He now has 16 points, and Mo has taken the lead.
How many, then, does Roxanne need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
And how badly does Roxanne want to win?
Oh, hush.
All right. Here we go, Roxanne. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. According to U.S. intelligence officials, a drone strike in Pakistan killed the number 2 man in blank.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. Days after a plane crashed en route to Lagos, an airline in blank defended the safety of its planes.
Nigeria.
Right. Reports this week said that Facebook is considering allowing blanks to sign up for their own accounts.
13-year-olds.
Yes. This week, planetariums were filled with people who wanted to view the transit of blank and cross the sun.
Venus.
Yes. Police responding to reports of a traffic jam along a highway in rural Pennsylvania arrived in the scene to find blank.
Chickens.
No, two cows doing it in the road.
Peter, you city boy, two cows will not
technically
be...
Technically. Hey.
It depends what state you're in.
Exactly.
It depends what state you're in.
Everything's changed after President Obama's announcement. Days,
good point.
Days after Miss Rhode Island won the crown, Miss Pennsylvania accused the blank pageant of being fixed.
Miss USA.
Yes, Dallas Cowboys fullback Lawrence Vickers was forced to leave practice this week after it was determined that he had blank.
That he had tickled his center.
No. It was that he had to leave after it was determined that he had ants in his pants.
Isn't that almost the same thing?
Practice was going fine for Vickers until he had an unusual sensation, and as he put it, quote, I walk off, and I'm like, oh, snap. And I pulled my pants down to see, and I saw ants. If this is a widespread problem, it explains a lot of touchdown celebrations. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed at least 6 correct answers to tie, but Roxanne had 5 correct answers. So, with 16 points, Mo Rocca is this week's champion. Oh,
Maryland's
own.
It's
Maurice Rocca.
I can't believe it. It's just...
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that they're taking on obesity, what other world problems will Disney solve and how? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org, and the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting games for health, using video games to promote health innovations at rwjf.org/pioneer. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. We want to welcome our new intern, Mackenzie Van Engelenhoven. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks this week to the crew at the Strathmore. For more information on events at the Music Center at Strathmore, go to strathmore.org. BJ Liddyman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical directions from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Milk Danforth. Now, panel, what problem will Disney solve next? Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Peace, love, and understanding, which is why they're getting rid of Donald Duck.
Roxanne Roberts.
It will save the Miss Universe pageant by allowing women who used to be men, fairy princesses, and transgendered mice with big ears.
And Mo Rocca.
To help find a cure for a host of chronic diseases, Disney will donate Mickey and Minnie to a lab for testing.
Disney does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to P.J. O'Rourke, Roxanne Roberts, and Mo Rocca. Thanks this week to Blythe Haga, Letty Holman, and everyone at WAMU Washington. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at the Music Center at Strathmore in North Bethesda, Maryland. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.
And celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from WPLN listener members and from Southern Environmental Law Center, a nonprofit working to defend Tennessee's environment through the power of the law. Information on endangered places, including the Cumberland Plateau, is online at southernenvironment.org.
When a loved one suffers from a life-threatening illness, it can be overwhelming and devastating to manage. Alive Hospice has been providing compassionate care to patients and families in a variety of settings since 1975. Supportive staff can come into your home like family, keeping everyone close and where they want to be. With community support, the nonprofit agency provides care to all who need it. Alive Hospice recommends patients discuss hospice care with their doctors.
I'm Jackie Leiden, coming up on the next On Point. These seem like big, troubled times, and Noam Chomsky joins us to give his take on everything from the Occupy movement to the Arab Spring. Plus, trillions of bacteria live in our bodies and outnumber our own cells 10 to 1. Who's in control, them or us? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11. Nashville weather for today. Rest of the afternoon, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible this afternoon. Cloudy in the high in the upper 70s. Showers likely tonight, possibly a thunderstorm with cloudy skies in the low in the upper 60s. For Monday tomorrow, showers in